Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the chair of the Green Party in Donegal believes that theoretically a zero COVID strategy is possible, but only on an all-island basis. The housing minister has accused Sinn Féin of trying to shout ministers down and then effectively storming out of the Dáil. There are calls for Inishowen to be prioritised in a new national coastal management strategy, and a case of bird flu has been confirmed in Donegal. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Dermot Doherty coming up at about 5:15. First in news though, the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine has been approved for use in Europe. The jab is the third to be authorised by the European Medicines Agency and will be given in two doses up to 12 weeks apart. It's been approved for all over 18s, including those over the age of 55. The EMA says there aren't enough results yet to show how well it will work in older adults, but that protection is expected. Executive Director Eimear Cook says the vaccine will be another tool in the effort to tackle COVID-19.
1 year on, we know there are no silver bullets, but there are significant steps and milestones that have been and can be delivered. And these are necessary to multiply the options available for healthcare systems. Today's achievement will deliver yet another option.
Ireland said to get just half of the initial expected doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine in the first quarter of the year. That means 150,000 people who were due to be vaccinated by the end of March will now face a longer wait. Instead of the 1.4 million total number of doses, Ireland is set to get 1.1 million because of the AstraZeneca shortfall. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said the most significant rollout of the vaccine was never going to happen in the first few months of the year.
Q2 was always going to be the key quarter when we would move into higher volumes of vaccines coming into the country, which would enable us to ramp up the vaccination program amongst the general population. I think it's important that we do it right.
The chair of the Green Party in Donegal believes that theoretically a zero COVID strategy is possible, but only on an all-island basis. The chief medical officer has already stated that Ireland cannot pursue such a strategy as it would not be feasible for a number of reasons. The approach would involve Ireland sealing its borders in an effort to drive new COVID cases down to zero as seen in New Zealand. However, Michael White says the lack of coordination north and south throughout the entire pandemic doesn't bode well for the move to come to fruition.
A policed barrier 5 kilometres inside the border to restrict traffic over and across the border. And like most people, I have close relatives in Derry, for example. You're having to think through the implications of that. I think some of this, like Professor Luke O'Neill said, the two big issues are inwards travel from outside the country into the country. We need to have greater controls on this. I think everybody agrees that, you know, you need to put in stronger quarantining rules. The second one then is travel within the country. That's a bigger issue. I'm just highlighting some of the points that have come up around the border, but also the lack of coordination between North and South has been an issue the whole way through. And I know there's all sorts of reasons for it. There's, you know, Sinn Féin and DUP relationships. There's North-South relationships. So even if we decided to go ahead, it's at the moment, because of the lack of coordination, for whatever the reason, it seems hard to see how well that would be progressed over the next couple of months. You know, it's hard to see the Northern guys and the Southern guys getting their act together. It seems that the only way it'll really work is if it was an all-island strategy, and practically that's not going to happen.
A further 22 COVID-related deaths have been recorded in Northern Ireland. 669 people have tested positive for the virus in the last 24 hours. 745 people are being treated in hospital with the disease in the north, while there are 67 patients in ICU. 16 people were fined yesterday for organising or attending house parties. It comes as more than 2,400 fines for non-essential travel have been issued so far. Niall Colbert has more.
Gardaí are warning they now have the power to issue fines to people hosting or attending a house party. Yesterday, 16 people were hit with the penalty as they were caught meeting in homes throughout Limerick, Cork, Galway and Kilkenny Carlow. The fines range from €150 for being at the gathering to €500 for being the host. Since January 11th, Gardaí have been issuing fines to people caught breaching travel restrictions. Over 2,400 €100 fines have been handed out so far to people who left their homes without a reasonable excuse. Gardaí are also warning that attending a party is seen as non-essential travel, so even if the party is in your neighbour's house, you could be hit with the €100 non-essential travel fine, as well as the €150 fine for attending the party.
A Donegal deputy has told the Dáil that the government stance that all employers have been putting the health of employees front and centre during the pandemic is not true. Deputy Thomas Pringle also spoke of how a recent study by the Donegal Women's Network reinforces concerns he raised over deprivation and the impacts of COVID-19. He called for the enhanced illness benefit to be reinstated for those whose employer fails to facilitate their need to work from home.
Minister, in relation to areas about social deprivation and the prevalence of COVID-19 around the country, I've asked your department for their views in relation to that and how that impacts on COVID-19. A recent study by the Donegal Women's Network reinforces some of the issues I raised with you about deprivation and the impacts of COVID-19. And the North reportedly already has this information. So I'm just wondering what your views are in relation to that, and will you provide or take on that information as part of your work? And also then as well, I would just like to ask about the introduction or reinstatement of an enhanced illness benefit for extremely medical vulnerable people. Your government says that all employers have been putting the health and safety of their employees front and centre during this pandemic, but that's not actually the case, Minister. I've been contacted by one worried wife and mother who told me that her husband's employer has not facilitated him to work from home and has continued to insist that he work in a customer-facing role. At the start of all this, when cocooning guidelines were first issued by NPHET, he took that advice and stayed at home. His employer did not offer to pay him or arrange for him to work from home, even though it would be possible. Instead, he was able to claim the €350 pandemic employment payment. Now that has been cut to €203 per week. And I'm just wondering, is there a possibility for the people in these situations that it could be reinstated to the €350 a week?
Well, in a response, Minister of State with responsibility for community development and charities, Joe O'Brien, failed to give a commitment on the matter.
I think when you're considering the impacts of COVID in relation to people who are socially excluded, as I said in my opening statement, there's kind of three different areas where you can look at that. Firstly, in terms of vaccine access, and I think we're quite good on that side of things in terms of the equity of access. Then there's the whole area of infection rates and mortality. And I think there are questions to be asked there, and perhaps research to be done there at some stage in relation to underlying health conditions and health inequalities that have fed up the line and caused higher mortality rates in that area. Then there's the wider area of the impacts of the actual health restrictions as well. And you can look at a pretty much every sector of society were in that regard, particularly on the education side of things, disability services as well. So it's quite broad, but we are considering what we've got before we make the next step on that.
There are calls for an issue to be prioritised in a new national coastal management strategy. Serious concerns have been raised over projections for the peninsula as it relates to coastal erosion, which shows areas such as Lag and part of Ballyliffin Golf Club could be severely impacted into the future. The government has announced a new strategy to explore the issue further. Cathaoirleach Lough of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Albert Doherty, believes this is an ideal opportunity for the case of Inishowen to be heard.
Decision by government to set up a national coastal management strategy is now an opportunity for us to put our case for a significant, prompt, priority consideration of the situation in Donegal.
Because it can be argued that the situation not in Donegal but in Inishowen is probably one of the worst in the country as it relates to coastal erosion. Those projections that we had seen in the recent past do not bode well for the likes of Ballyliffin Golf Club and different places in and around the peninsula.
They do not bode well, and the decision through the RPS study and the OPW-sponsored study to monitor the situation is one that doesn't sit well locally in the peninsula. We believe that there are action steps, and we believe that this, and I believe that this government national coastal management strategy is an opportunity now for us to put our case for the Inishowen Peninsula and indeed for all of the other Gulf Links areas in the county and areas that feel that they're under coastal erosion threat, to put the case to government, to all the departments that are involved and to the OPW. And I believe now that we need to have a presentation and an input on this strategy.
A case of bird flu has been confirmed in Donegal. The Department of Agriculture says a confirmed case of avian influenza was identified in a hooper swan discovered in the Redcastle area on Wednesday. To date, there have been 26 cases of wild birds with bird flu in 24 separate events in Ireland since early November. The disease was also confirmed in a turkey flock in Wicklow on the 10th of December and in two separate poultry premises in Northern Ireland in January this year. Poultry owners are advised to familiarise themselves with the clinical signs of the disease and to report any suspected cases to the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine immediately. The Housing Minister has accused Sinn Féin of trying to shout ministers down and then effectively storming out of the Dáil. Dara O'Brien made the comments after Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty raised issues surrounding the shared equity scheme. The minister was then allocated less than 1 minute to answer the five questions from Deputy Doherty. When Minister O'Brien was speaking, Deputy Doherty intervened, saying he refused to answer any of the questions and accused the minister of attacking him.
The scheme is still being worked through, and there's a number of affordability measures that we're bringing forward, about 468 million in budget 2021 that cover service sites fund, Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan, Help to Buy scheme, plus the shared equity scheme, and plus actually the affordable rental scheme. We'll be publishing the scheme. We published the bill. We'll be moving forward with regulations. I've been bemused by Sinn Féin actually trying to shoot down a scheme before they've even seen it. If they look at the equivalent scheme or a scheme that's comparable to this, and we've looked at other schemes in other jurisdictions, the Help to Buy scheme, which is called in England, has actually increased housing supply by 14% and house price inflation increased by less than 1%. We're negotiating through this scheme. We're working on it because we believe in home ownership. We believe in giving... this has been all afternoon. Sinn Féin have been trying to interrupt me. We believe in home ownership. We believe in giving young people a chance to own their own homes. And we will bring forward a scheme that will work, which is one element of our affordability package.
Thank you, Minister.
And so those who want to actually already shoot down a scheme before they've even seen it is obviously based on for political reasons and purely that. We're interested in action. Sorry.
Deputy, please.
It seems to be a trait in Sinn Féin today, just trying to shout people down all day. Deputy O'Brien did the same.
Could we?
You'll probably leave now as well after doing that. So good luck.
Your time is up. Thank you. Deputy.
Can I ask you to clarify this? Because the Leas can clearly done it. The Minister again has made an accusation here. The public health advice is for members, when they are finished speaking, to leave the building or to leave the room. You should not be using that to attack me. I asked five specific questions, numbered them. You refuse to answer any of the questions.
Well, Deputy,
and that is not acceptable
please.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Dermot Doherty.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with the Donegal Sports Star Awards, which take place later on this evening. Of course, it's all going to be very different this year. The COVID-19 restrictions mean the usual night of glitz, glamour and celebration can't be enjoyed. Instead, the awards night will be held virtually for the first time in the event's 45-year history. Former Finn Harps manager Patsy McGowan is this year's Hall of Fame winner, but the rest of the category winners and the overall sports star for 2020 will be revealed this evening during the live ceremony, which will be broadcast on the Donegal Sports Star Awards Facebook page from 7:30. Declan Kerr is part of the organising committee and he says that despite a year of lockdowns, there were some notable sporting achievements.
It was a big decision for the committee to go ahead with it in the first place because I suppose people will be wondering, you know, was there enough sport? And as it turns out, there was enough sport. There was plenty of achievements during 2020, despite the lockdown, the early lockdown. But when sport got going, sort of in the early summer, nearly all the competitions in the county were finished, be that in soccer or GAA. I think the only big one that didn't actually get finished was the county senior GAA final between Niamh Connell and Kilcare. But apart from that, all the other sporting competitions finished. So that gave us a good array of sport and a good array of achievements. We have a judging committee within the Donegal Sports Star Awards, and we have sat down over the last 5 or 6 weeks to look at the winners and the successes of 2020, and I suppose shortlisted them and then picked winners in different categories. It's a different format this year, John. It will be a scale down in terms of the number of categories to previous years because obviously there hasn't been a full year of sport last year.
That's Declan Kerr. 7:30, that event starts this evening on the Facebook page. Well, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp concedes he may have to sign a defender before the transfer window closes on Monday. Joel Matic suffered an ankle ligament injury during last night's win at Tottenham, but Klopp will only sign someone if they are right for the team.
I'm not picky or whatever. I think, I know he's never, but we need to find the right player. We have players still, not a lot. To be honest, in the defense line, it's incredible what's happening there. It's really incredible. But yeah, that's it.
Well, West Ham boss David Moyes thinks Jesse Lingard's versatility makes him a brilliant signing for the club. The England international's loan move from Manchester United to the London Stadium is expected to be confirmed soon. Moyes admits he hopes it's not the last piece of business he does before the transfer window closes on Monday.
Jesse will give us more options, more attacking options as far as can play in probably nearly all the positions along the front line. He can play as a midfield player as well. And we'd have liked another striker. We have tried to, we've made an offer for one or two, but for different reasons they've not been gettable.
English League One side Oxford have signed Luke McNally from St Pat's. The defender leaves the Inchicore club for an undisclosed fee. Tonight in the Championship, it's 5th versus 6th as Reading play Bournemouth. And in the Irish League, Larne take on Glentoran. A win for Larne would move them just a point behind the leaders, Linfield. In Gaelic Games news this evening of the departure of Paul Flynn from his position as Chief Executive Officer of the Gaelic Players Association. The former Dublin player had held the position since June 2018 when he succeeded Dermot Early. His departure was officially confirmed in a player's message to GPA members this afternoon. In rugby, Tadhg Furlong will make his first appearance in 11 months tomorrow. He's been named a tight head for Leinster's Pro 14 game away to the Scarlets. Furlong has been out for nearly a year with a combination of back and calf issues. Leinster have also confirmed that one of their players is currently isolating after testing positive for COVID-19. The player was tested after being identified as a close contact of a family member, while the rest of their squad returned negative results from their separate PCR tests. Only Mike Healy and Gavin Coombs are retained in the Munster starting 15, named for their game away to Benetton. Tight head Roman Salanoa has been handed his first start for the Reds in the league. In the golf, Rory McIlroy will begin his second round at the Farmers Insurance Open later on from 4 under par. Heading into day 2 at Torrey Pines, he's 4 shots off joint leaders Patrick Reed and Alex Noren. Padraig Harrington, meanwhile, he's best of the Irish at the midway point of the Dubai Desert Classic. A second round 69 leaves the European Ryder Cup captain 4 under par and 6 shots adrift of the leader Thomas Detry. Shane Lowry reached halfway in 2 under par, but Graham McDowell, he misses the cut on 5 over. And finally this evening, the 4 Masters GAA Club in Donegal Town and indeed the wider GAA community are this evening mourning the passing of Liam Mullen, a much respected and very well known veteran of the GAA. Liam had many friends across the county and beyond, built up over many years through his involvement with club and county teams and committees. Indeed, he was a real all-rounder in GAA terms, being actively involved in football, hurling, camogie score and the general promotion of the sport. And to celebrate that outstanding contribution, he was inducted into Donegal GAA's Hall of Fame some years ago. Liam's funeral will take place in Donegal Town on Sunday and our sympathies are extended to his family, club colleagues and his many friends. And that's your sport.
Thanks, Dermot. I'm returning to some news. A formal application to demolish the iconic Letterkenny nightclub, the Golden Grill, has been lodged with Donegal County Council. Planning permission to demolish the premises and erect temporary security hoardings has been submitted to the council in the name of John Barry. The iconic nightclub in the heart of Letterkenny was first opened by Bernard McGlinchey in 1961 and attracted thousands of patrons throughout the decades that followed. A yellow weather warning for very unsettled weather comes into force at 10 o'clock tonight. Wet and windy conditions bringing a risk of localised flooding is expected across the country. It will also be cold with wintry falls of snow and icy conditions. The warning will remain in place until 11 o'clock on Sunday night. To mark the 1500th anniversary of Colm Kill, Donegal County Council, along with Derry City and Strabane District Council, are coordinating a programme for the year which includes a community grant scheme. As part of the Colm Kill 1500 commemorations, grants of €2,000 or £1,800 are available for projects that primarily take place within the two council areas. The year-long celebrations are underway until the 7th of December 2021 and the closing date for applications is 3pm on Friday, February the 19th. Greg Hughes has more.
The programme being coordinated by the two councils is supported by key partners, including the North West Development Fund, in conjunction with and supported by the Executive Office and the Irish Government. The programme builds on an audit of Clumben Heritage undertaken in 2018 and is being delivered in partnership with a range of local, regional, national and international organisations. A dedicated Colm Kill 1500 project manager has recently been appointed as part of the programme to lead and coordinate cross border commemorations for the year. This will include a range of projects, events and activities as well as the grant scheme. The programme aims to raise knowledge and understanding of Colm Kill and to establish a lasting legacy. The grant scheme will play an important role in this by supporting local communities to contribute to the year and its legacy.
Weather night tonight will be cold and mainly dry. However, rain will develop overnight, falling as sleet on higher ground. It will be quite windy with lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, Ireland set to get just half of the initial expected doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine in the first quarter of the year. That means 150,000 people who were due to be vaccinated by the end of March will face a longer wait. The chair of the Green Party in Donegal believes that theoretically a zero COVID strategy is possible, but only on an all-island basis. The chief medical officer, however, has already stated that Ireland cannot pursue such a strategy as it would not be feasible for a number of reasons. There are calls for Inishowen to be prioritised in a new national coastal management strategy. Serious concerns have been raised over projections for the peninsula as it relates to coastal erosion, which shows areas such as Lag and part of Ballyliffin Golf Club could be severely impacted into the future. And a case of bird flu has been confirmed in Donegal. The Department of Agriculture says a confirmed case of avian influenza was identified in a hooper swan discovered in the Redcastle area on Wednesday. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, January the 29th. The death has taken place of Maiarua Gallagher Mahar Lusky Dor. The funeral will leave Letterkenny tomorrow morning at 10:15, travelling via Dunluce, Arden's Door and Mina Duff to her late residence. Funeral will leave Maya's residence at 12:15 tomorrow afternoon for funeral mass in St Mary's Church Derrybeg at 1:00, burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Due to government and HSE guidelines, wake, funeral mass and burial will be private to immediate family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary can be viewed on the Parish of Gidor Facebook page this evening at 7:30. Maiarua's funeral mass will be broadcast on the Colm Gillespie Funeral Director Facebook page tomorrow afternoon at 1:00. The death has taken place of Lizzie Doherty, Pat Clunche Clonmany. Funeral will take place on Sunday morning at 11:30 in St Mary's Church Clonmany, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed live on the Clonmany Together Facebook page. The death has taken place of Maura Floyd, Navani Ballybofey. Removal from Gibson's funeral home tomorrow evening at 6:15, going to St Mary's Church, Sheshonleigh to repose overnight. Rosary at 7:00. Funeral mass on Sunday morning at 11:00, followed by burial in St Patrick's Church Graveyard Crossroads. Rosary and funeral mass can be viewed on facebook.com/ St Mary's Sheshonleigh. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Gibson's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Micheál Rorty Nacha Stoller Bombeg. His remains are reposing at his daughter Kathleen's residence in Nacha Stoller. Funeral mass in St Mary's Chapel Derrybeg on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 7:30. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Rosary and funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director Facebook page. The death has occurred of Eddie Boyle, Durlock, Letchermack Award. His remains are reposing in McGlynn's funeral home until 6:30 this evening, with removal to St Bridget's Church, Letchermack Award, to arrive at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed on Letchermack Award, Doohery Parish Facebook page. The death has taken place of Mary Molly McNulty, Naomh McFadden, Nochna Fahar, Dunfanaghy and formerly of Glasgow. Funeral mass in St Michael's Church, Creaslawn, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/camera/ St Michael's Church, Creaslawn. The death has taken place of Jennifer Cunningham, September Cottage, Drumbairn, Milford. Remains will repose at her home. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Milford Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral service can be viewed on Patrick Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member.